Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth and Happy New Year. My name is Wayne Zell, and I'm your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. And the show is brought to you by the premier law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about OF&P and the services we provide, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com or give us a call for an appointment at 703-218-2100. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, where you can get video, audio, and articles of interest on taxes, estate planning, and business planning. And as you would expect, we were talking about the fiscal cliff before the end of the year. Might as well talk about it again and what the Congress did or didn't do to remedy the problems that we were all facing as a country. You know, for the past several months, we've been talking extensively about the term fiscal cliff. It's a hot term. You know, it's a term, I guess, that was defined to describe the potential doom that was created by a number of fiscal issues that were coming to a head at the same time. And despite staying in session later than they ever have stayed, the U.S. Congress really has not resolved all of the issues on the fiscal cliff. What they did do on New Year's Eve and into New Year's was continue working on legislation that was passed in the very late hours of New Year's Day, 2 a.m. to be exact. The Senate passed by a vote of 89-8 in favor of a tax package known as the American Tax Relief Act of 2012, even though it was enacted in 2013. And the House, shortly after that, 20 hours later, passed the same bill with very few modifications by a vote of about 257-189. Obviously, the Democrats heavily supported it, but several Republicans came over both on the Senate side and the House side to allow the bill to become law. The president signed it a couple of days later. The 2012 Tax Relief Act focuses on several areas that impact taxpayers, and we're going to talk about them today. In the next show, next week, we're going to talk specifically about changes that were made to the estate, gift, and generation skipping transfer tax rules. On the income tax side, one of the most important provisions was the permanent, quote-unquote permanent, extension of the Bush tax cuts for individuals that were enacted way back in 2001 and then modified somewhat in 2003. Those provisions were made permanent for single taxpayers who had taxable income of less than $400,000 or $450,000 for joint filers. For those who are over those thresholds, the top income tax rate rose to 39.6% from 35%. Now, this is important because on top of that number, we're going to find out are additional taxes that really cause the tax rates at the highest levels to increase well in excess of 40%. In addition, Congress brought back the personal exemption phase-out, known as the PEP or PEP, and the itemized deduction phase-out, known as the PEAS, named after the congressman who was responsible for enacting this provision way back in 1993, limitations. They brought back the limitations for taxpayers who have gross income over, or adjusted gross income over certain thresholds that are not the same as the tax rate thresholds. Then they also, and probably the largest cost associated with this tax bill, they also made permanent the so-called patch on the alternative minimum tax, increasing the exemptions for individuals and married filing jointly taxpayers substantially, so that the bulk of Americans, at least 30 million people who were going to be subject to the alternative minimum tax, the AMT, are not going to be subject to it now. The cost of that provision alone was $1.8 trillion, not billion, trillion dollars over 10 years. But I think a lot of taxpayers are going to be happy that this exemption was passed and made permanent. They also provided extension of many credits and deductions that were already or would have expired in 2012. And, of course, they extended the estate and gift tax exemptions, as we'll talk about in greater detail next week. What the legislation did not do was they did not continue or extend the payroll tax holiday. That is, payroll taxes in 2012, if you didn't notice, were reduced by 2% from 6.2% down to 4.2% at the employee level. This expired at the end of 2012 and will be in effect going forward in 2013. They also allowed for an increase in the Medicare tax that was originally enacted all the way back in 2010 when they passed health care reform legislation. These taxes now take effect in 2013. Other parts and important parts of the fiscal cliff were not addressed. In other words, they kicked the can down the road for about 2 months to deal with the debt ceiling, which was effectively reached, but they extended it for a maximum period that is about 2 months, and sequestration, in other words, the automatic cuts to defense and to other spending that were scheduled to take effect on December 31st or January 1st, were kicked down the road for a couple of months, while the Congress now will pick up that debate and deal with those issues now that the tax legislation has supposedly been made permanent or at least put to bed for some time. The White House said the bill will raise $620 billion over 10 years compared to an extension of all the Bush tax cuts. But the bill costs over $3.9 trillion over 10 years. So don't lose sight of the fact that the deficit is going to be increased by that amount over the next 10 years. We now have seven tax brackets, including a bracket for the 35% rate that goes from $398,350 or thereabouts to $400,000. In other words, we have a bracket that's a little more than $1,500 for certain taxpayers. Kind of ironic, but that's some of the complexity that's introduced by this tax legislation. Again, you know, by way of background, the Bush tax cuts, which were designed to sunset at the end of 2010, had been extended for 2 years and were scheduled to expire at the end of 2012. The lowest individual bracket of 10% would have disappeared, leaving a low rate of 15%. We still have the 10% rate. We have the 15% rate. We have a 25, a 28, a 33, and a 35% rate. And we now have a 39.6% rate for those over the $400,000 and $450,000 thresholds. Trusts, by the way, with income over about $12,000 for 2013 will also experience a top tax rate of 39.6%. What I understand from talking to people who were involved in tracking the legislation on the Hill is that nobody is happy about what happened on December the 31st and January the 1st. Apparently, Vice President Biden and Senator McConnell, who runs the Republican side, negotiated the compromise with staff in the wings basically doing the tax economic calculations. The Republicans passed on the opportunity that Congressman Boehner, the House Speaker, had proposed earlier for a $1 million threshold. And the Democrats, who were really pushing for $250,000 as the high watermark for considering people wealthy, also lost out. They reached that compromise level, obviously in some form of horse trading. It's really important to note that this is a quote-unquote permanent extension of the Bush tax cuts for all levels below the top tax bracket that I just described. There's no sunset provision in the act that taxpayers are supposed to be concerned about. But with taxes likely playing a major part in upcoming negotiations on other parts of the fiscal cliff, i.e. the debt ceiling and deficit reduction, the notion that these rates and that all of these changes have been made permanent is clearly going to be a point of contention for lawmakers going forward. In fact, Congressman Pelosi, in an appearance on Bob Schieffer's program on CBS, recently said that she believes that the tax cuts and the tax provisions are not permanent. Now, don't forget that there's a tax bracket increase for the highest income taxpayers, along with the additional Medicare tax that's being imposed. The Medicare tax is a 0.9% surtax on wages and self-employment income in excess of $250,000 for joint filers and $200,000 for single filers. So there may be additional taxes to pay along with the filing of tax returns. And by the way, be careful. The IRS rules relating to withholding only require that the IRS withhold a certain amount, which may leave you owning more tax on April 15th of 2014 because of this Medicare 0.9% surtax. On top of that is also a net investment income tax that was added as part of the health care reform bill. This is 3.8% on interest and dividends, whether or not they're qualified dividends, rents and royalties, and capital gains, and also income from passive activities such as real estate investment. The same levels apply, the $250 for joint, $200 for single. And it applies to the lesser of the net investment income that the taxpayer has, or their adjusted gross income modified for certain items above these levels. So if you have a high adjusted gross income because you have a high level of earnings and you also have net investment income, you're going to be subject to this net investment income surtax. The highest rate that could be imposed, 43.4%, plus a potential surtax of 0.9% on top of that for your earned income. Obviously, this is complex. It didn't achieve tax reform, and tax reform remains on the table for the future. If you've got questions about these changes, give us a call at 703-218-2100, and we'll be happy to help you with your tax planning. I'm Wayne Zell, and you're listening to Blueprint for Wealth.